I don't. I'm pretty happy the way I am. I don't need anything to make me look like that. But I got a message tonight, Lord laid on my heart this afternoon, and this is going to be Ken, to Brother Ross's message. He preached last Wednesday, I guess it was. It's not the same message, brother. It will be crossing the path. You can't preach God without preaching Jesus, because they're intertwined.
Amen.
Brother Ross preached the other night, what is Jesus? He's wonderful, Counselor, and Mighty Lord. He's all those things. He went through all those things that Jesus was, and I've got a thought tonight, who is God?
Amen.
And I didn't even get it from Brother Ross's message either. This is just something that the Lord's laid on my heart. I got a phone call yesterday afternoon, and started not to even answer it because it was a different area code, and usually that's not a good sign. Had no identification on it, but I answered it anyway, and I'm glad I did. It was somebody that's been to our church, and he was talking to me, and he said, "I'm just contemplating blowing my brains out." He said, "I'm in bad shape." He said, I've been drunk either for several weeks or maybe might have said several months. I don't remember, but been drunk forever. And he said, I've lost everything I had. My wife left me. And while he was talking, I was thinking, I don't blame her for leaving, you know. And then he started talking about, he said, that preacher used to be there. I said, Brother Jack. He said, yeah. He said, I won't. What you've got and what he had.
Praise the Lord.
That's a testimony.
Amen. Amen,
yeah. Year after you're gone, people still wanting what you had.
Yeah.
That's
amen. Praise the Lord.
He said, how do you get it? And you can say whatever you want to say. People don't understand. He said, why don't God just take my drinking away from me? I said, because you don't want him to.
Right.
You enjoy it too much. And he said, well, yeah, I do. I said, well, you've got to give it up. He's not going to jerk it out of your hand. We get things all messed up and mixed up. We think God's going to do something that God can't do without our permission.
Amen.
We've got to serve him. He said, well, how did I get it? I said, well, start with, you got to seek him. He said, well, how did I do that? I said, I'd start by coming to church. They're going somewhere to church. If you don't come to our church, go somewhere where they're preaching the Word of God. Because that's the only way you're ever going to find Jesus precious to your heart. You got to seek him. The Bible said, seek and you shall find.
Amen.
Knock and it'll be opened unto you. Ask and it'll be given.
Amen.
But if you're not asking, seeking, and knocking, you're never going to get there.
Amen.
But in Exodus tonight, chapter number 5, Moses has already been to the burning bush, and God's called him to do a mission. He's told him to go down to Pharaoh and get him to set my people free. And Moses has offered up all of his excuses. He's asked God, who am I that I should go talk to Pharaoh? I want to tell you something. I know Pharaoh was a king, but he wasn't God.
Right.
When God tells you to go talk to the king, you don't worry about how big the king is, because God's a whole lot bigger.
Hey.
And Moses went after all of his objections, and God convinced him to go, made him go, or whatever. And Moses is down there, and in the 5th chapter of Exodus, the Bible said in verse 1, and afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the service here tonight. Thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit. God, I ask you, Lord, just to bless in the message. Anoint the messenger tonight. God, help us to bring out what you'd have brought out in the way that you'd have it delivered. God, I ask you just to help each one of us tonight, God, to get a better understanding of just exactly who God is tonight. Lord, just be with us, Father. Whatever is accomplished, we'll give you the praise and honor and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these favors. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible said here that Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and said, God said, or the Lord said, they called him here the Lord. The Lord can be God or Jesus. Sometimes the Bible says Jesus. Sometimes it says God. Sometimes it says the Lord. In this particular case, it said the Lord. And Moses and Aaron went and said, the Lord said to let my people go, that they can go and hold a feast for me in the wilderness. Now Pharaoh here, he's not a godly man. They had a lot of gods, but he didn't serve the true and living God. He knew nothing about the God of heaven. He knew nothing about the God that created the heaven and the earth. He knew nothing about the real God. All he knew about was a bunch of idols that he had. And so he asked Moses and Aaron, he said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? And he asked a question here, and then he turned around and followed it by a statement that I think that the majority of the people in the world can relate to. He said, who is the Lord? And then he turned around and made a statement. He said, I know not the Lord. That's the way that most people are that I talk to today. They may not say it, but they know not the Lord. And I tell you something, there's a lot of people believe in God, but there's a lot more to it than believing in God. You can believe in God, and it won't do you one bit of good just to believe in God. I would say if you went around and asked everybody you saw, do you believe in God? Every one of them would say, yeah, I believe in God. I doubt you'd find very many, if any, that would say, no, I don't believe in God. A lot of people in Africa and the third world countries and different places that Jesus has never been preached, they believe in God. They believe in a higher power. They believe that there's a God that makes it rain. There's a God that makes the sun shine. There's a God that they plant by. There's a God that they reap by. There's a God for this and a God for that. They don't realize it, but it's the same God. If they're the true and living God, He is a God that makes it rain. He is a God that makes the sun shine. He is a God that makes our crops grow. He's a God that makes the flowers bloom and makes the gardens to grow and the flower beds to grow. He's a God for every purpose. God does it all. But they believe there's one God for this and one for that and another for this and that. That's kind of the way that I think Pharaoh probably was. And he said, who is the Lord? And I don't know who the Lord is. I want to tell you something tonight. I believe that it's important for each and every one of us tonight to know who the Lord is. And so I want to take just a few minutes. And the Bible, the psalmist in the book of Psalms, he addressed some of this. Well, he addressed it all the way through. But I want to go to the 18th chapter just for a few verses tonight. And I want to show you what Psalmist said about this situation. Now, the Bible tells us in the 18th chapter of the book of Psalms, in verse number 31, the psalmist said, for who is God save the Lord? Now, that's what Pharaoh, he said, who is the Lord? The psalmist here, he said, who is the Lord? Who is God save the Lord? He is Lord and God. He's creator of the universe. He's the one that spoke the world into existence. He's the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. He's the one that said, let there be a greater light by the daytime and a lesser light at night, and it was so. He was the one that separated the firmament from the waters. He's the one that hung all the stars in the sky. He asked Job later on, he said, where was you at when I did all these things? And Job, like me, just stood there speechless because he wasn't nowhere when God did all those things. But this is the Lord. And so the psalmist said, who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God?
Yes.
Now, the Bible teaches us that there's three in heaven that agree as one. There's the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And they all three agree in as one. Now, this is getting into the Trinity, which is something that I don't totally understand. I don't know if anybody does. There's three, and yet they're one. And that's hard to understand. I would put that right up there on that list with things that is almost impossible to understand. But it's not impossible to believe because the Bible says it, and I believe it. So, you cannot separate, as I said, we're preaching a message tonight that is kin to what Brother Ross preached last Wednesday night, maybe it was, and he preached on Jesus. I'm preaching more on God. They're the same person, and yet they're not the same person. You can't separate them, and yet they are separated in their own way. The Bible said that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's a separation right there, and yet they are all three as one. Now, if you understand that, maybe you can explain it to me. I'm hard-headed sometimes, and I can't comprehend things maybe the way I should, but sometimes I think I got it figured out, and then I think about it a little bit more, and I say, no, I don't think that's how it is. I don't know. But anyway, I do know one thing that Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I think it's maybe around chapter 10 or somewhere around there, he said that rock that followed them in the wilderness was Jesus. I know that. Now the Bible said here, who is God save the Lord? Or who is the rock save God? So if the rock was Jesus, and the psalmist said the rock is our God, so you can't separate that, and yet they're their own person at the same time. But he goes on here in the 32nd verse, and he said, it is God that girdeth me with strength.
Amen.
Now this gentleman I was talking to yesterday, he said, I believe in God. I said, but that's not enough. You just believing in God is not enough to get the job done. I believe that hell is full of people today that died believing in God. That will never get you saved, believing in God. He said, then what else is? I said, you have to accept Christ as your personal Savior. And you've got to come and believe in Him. He said, I believe. I said, you don't believe enough. If you did, you'd be saved instead of where you're at now. See, it's one thing to say you believe, but it's another thing altogether to actually believe something. And the psalmist here, he said, it's God that girdeth me with strength. This man said, God's blessed me. I said, I don't doubt that one bit. God blesses everybody. The lost man gets up in the morning and he breathes just like we do. That's a blessing from God. If God quits blessing him, he quits breathing and he dies. He goes to the spring or the water fountain and he gets a drink of water just like I do. If God quits blessing him, he'll die of thirst.
Amen.
I'm telling you tonight, God blesses everybody. He said, God blesses me. I said, there's no doubt in my mind that God does bless you. But there's more to it than what you're seeing here. David said, it's God that girdeth me with strength. Listen, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have got out of bed this morning because I wouldn't have had the strength to even stand up and put one foot in front of the other. It's God that gives me that strength. And it's God that gives it to the lost man.
Amen.
Lost woman, boy, girl. Listen, you don't have to be a Christian to have strength from God. He blesses everybody with strength. The psalmist said, it's God that girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. You mean to tell me, preacher, you're perfect? No, I mean to tell you I'm not. I'm not perfect. Now, I never have said I was, and I don't believe in it. I know some folks that say they are, and I don't believe in them either. We don't live. I think it's impossible. Personally, I think that you cannot possibly live a perfect life on this earth. I just don't believe that that's possible at all. Every time I get to thinking maybe I can go a few minutes without and be perfect, then somebody pulls out in front of me and I blows that theory. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that we do in the course of our day that proves that we're not perfect. We cannot be. And yet the psalmist said, he maketh my way perfect. I didn't say I was perfect, but I do live in a perfect life. I didn't say I lived in a perfect world. Now listen to me. I didn't say the world was perfect. I said my life is perfect. Because of God. He gives me a perfect life.
Yeah.
And just look how God has blessed me. Look how He's blessed you. I mean, hey, you say, boy, my life is sure not perfect. Well, I don't tell you that. Mine's not exactly perfect according to what I think the standard ought to be. But I want to tell you something. I've lived all my life and I wouldn't know what it was like to be hungry and not have something to eat. I've lived my whole life and I've never, except, on occasion, maybe I was found barefooted. When our house burned, I was running through the snow in zero weather barefooted, but I had shoes before the house caught on fire. And I had shoes just a little while after that. Listen, I've never went through this life and had to go barefooted because I had no shoes to wear. That's pretty good. God has blessed me with shoes. A lot of times it'd be something my cousin out wore and they'd hand them down, but I still had something to cover my feet. And I've been through this life and I've lived and I've had all my needs met. Not all my wants. There's a lot of things that I wanted, but you can't count your wants. You look at what you needed, and God has provided our every need. Now, according to my thinking, that's pretty well perfect. I mean, God, the psalmist said He strengthens me, and He makes my way perfect.
Amen.
He gave me a good church to go to. Where I can go in and feel the presence of God in my life. If that's not perfect, I don't know what is. I'm thank God for the strength that He gives me and the way that He's made my way perfect, as the psalmist said here in verse number 32. I've never been rich, but I've never lacked anything.
Amen.
You know, I mean, that's saying a lot. There's times when we might not know where the next meal's coming from, but when it's time to eat, there's always been something on the table.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was just pastored my first church and left, and I was working and trying to make ends meet, and my wife was setting the supper table one night, and my boys said, "Mom, what's for supper?" She said, "I don't know." Reason she said that, because there wasn't anything to eat. They said, "Well, what do we have?" And she said, "I don't know." Before she got the table set, somebody knocked on the door. She went to the door and saw a man running down the driveway, jumped in the car and took off. But there was groceries covering the front porch. Listen, I want to tell you what I'm saying is God makes our way perfect.
Amen.
God will always supply your need. I've never known anybody that did without Now, a lot of people today, you say, well, I know people that don't have food. No, but they probably had plenty to drink until they drunk up all their money. They probably smoked a lot till they smoked up all their money. Now, listen, I'm not talking about that. If God gives it to you and you squander it on something else, that's not what I'm talking about tonight. But listen, if you're trying and you're trusting in God, He's going to supply your needs every single time. Always will, always does, and He's never ever going to come up short. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Well, I'm telling you who He is. The psalmist said, who's God? He's the Lord. Who's the rock? He's God. And here he said, and he goes on the 33rd verse, said, and He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. That's a deer. And I've seen deer, sometimes they get in a place, I've seen them get pretty slippery, but you know something, if they fall down, you know what they do? They bounce back up so fast. I mean, you barely see them fall till they're up and gone. Because God made them sure-footed. Now, I'm not saying I might not trip. I'm not saying I might not blunder and fall. But I'm saying I won't lay there. Because He gave me feet like hinds' feet. He gave me something today that I can stand on. He gave me something today that keeps me standing and walking with Him. He said He gives me feet like hinds' feet. And He setteth upon me, set me in high places. Listen, if God didn't make us sure-footed, we couldn't stand. Somebody said, how do you live for Jesus? I said, start with, got to have Jesus in your heart. If you don't, you'll never live for Him. I told that man yesterday, I said, these people, January 1st, that made all these New Year's resolutions, they've all broke them already. Those that quit drinking January 1st started back January 2nd. That's not going to get the job done. You've got to have Jesus in your heart. You've got to live for God. You've got to have the desire to have God in your life, or you're never going to be able to stand.
Amen.
I couldn't stand for 5 minutes without Jesus. Ain't no way. He said in verse 34, He said, He teacheth my hands to war. You know, God teaches us how to win the victory. David went out against Goliath, and the Bible said that he picked up 5 stones for 1 giant. Did he think God was that bad of a name? No. I think he knew that Goliath had 4 brothers and maybe they want to come down and get some. But did David know that? He'd been a shepherd. He'd been keeping his father's sheep. Did he even know who Goliath was? How did he know anything about Goliath? And yet when he went to Saul and said, I want to go up and fight him. And Saul said, well, you're just a youth. And he's been a warrior since his youth. And David said, that don't make no difference because God teacheth me how to war. That's what he said here in this 18th Psalm. He said, God teaches me how to war. And so when he went to war against Goliath, he stopped, picked up a stone, and put it in his little shepherd bag. And I think then he had a thought. He said, I better get 4 more, because I think God's telling me that Goliath's got some brothers that may not like what's fixing to happen. And so God teaches us, if we'll listen to Him, if we'll follow Him, if we'll let Him, He can instruct us in things to do and how to go about doing it. He said, He teacheth me to war. And He said, so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. Man, I think about this. I think most bows nowadays are made out of fiberglass, I guess. I don't know. Seemed like all of them I ever seen was or made out of something like that. I don't know. I've never been much on bow and arrows. I don't even know if I've ever shot a real one. I may have sometime or another. But apparently they made them out of steel when David was on the battlefield. And he said, I can take my fingers and pull back a steel bow and it just breaks because God gives me that much strength. He guides me. He teaches me how to war. And He makes a steel bow to be broken in my arms. Listen, God is... He's God of the universe. He's God all over the world. He's God all over you and me. He's God everywhere at all times.
Man.
Psalmist goes on here and he said, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation."
Amen.
Now that's more true now, I think, than it was in David's day. But God did save them in that day. Not like we're saved. They could offer all the sacrifice they wanted to offer, and they was never actually born again. But David was saved out of the hand of Goliath, and God saved him out of the hands of King Saul. And I'll tell you something, that's a form of salvation, not what we talk about salvation today. We talk about salvation since the New Testament time, and we're talking about the blood of Jesus being applied to our heart. But David here, he knew something about being saved. He said, "God's the one that saved me." He said, "He's my shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." Now that's a mouthful. He said he's a shield of my salvation. "And thy right hand holdeth me up." There'd been times in my life I think, man, I don't think I can stand. But then you feel the arms of God come around you, and He holds you up.
Amen.
He holds you up. Did you stand by yourself? No, I couldn't stand by myself. God was holding me. David said, "He holdeth me up."
Yes.
And then the last thing he said in that, he said, "In thy gentleness hath made me great."
Yes.
Did David think he was so great? Maybe he did. He was pretty great. I mean, David was a great person. I mean, he is considered to be the father of Jesus. In the New Testament, they called for Jesus, the father of David, their son of David. And so, but I don't think that's what he's talking about. I don't think that was what he meant when he said this. "I don't consider myself great. And I don't take any credit for anything that God has ever done through or by me. I could accomplish nothing. I can save nobody. I'm just a humble servant, and I'm just trying like everybody else to follow the leadership of God and walk in the will of God. And if anything good comes out of anything that I make an effort to do, I promise you it was not me. I can have no credit for that. I'm not great." And yet the psalmist said, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." You know something? Sometimes, let me just throw this in here because it fits. Sometimes we'd learn to keep our mouth shut and be gentle with people, we would be great. You realize that? You know why we're not greater than we are? Because we run our mouth all the time. The Bible said in the book of James, if we could bridle our tongue and if we could control our tongue, we'd be perfect. That's saying a lot. I mean, he didn't even consider the adultery, the fornication, the thieving, the killing, and all the rest of it. He just said, if you could bite your tongue, just keep it still, you'd be perfect. That's pretty good. But David said, "Thy gentleness makes me great." I was thinking, how did David mean this? What is this? And like I said, I've been trying to preach the gospel now for over 40 years. And I don't consider anything that I've ever done to be great. I look at a lot of blunders I've made, and I consider them to be blunders. And I will take credit for some of that. But I can't take credit for anything that happened that was good. And yet, the psalmist said, "The Lord made me great." I said, how is that possible? Then the Lord brought to my memory that little boy in Lenore City. Little old boy about 8 or 10 years old. Tugging on my pants leg after he came that night to an altar and got saved. Looked up at me and said, "Preacher, thank you for coming and preaching to me." This, I didn't do nothing. I didn't save that boy. There's no way I could have. I can't take even credit for that's all God. But I want to tell you something. To that little boy that was on a slippery slope going to hell, now all of a sudden his name's written in the Lamb Book of Life. He looked at me and I think he probably said, "Man, that he's great." Mm-hmm. I'm not. But you see, the night that I got saved, the preacher got up and preached. And I'm going to tell you something. That's been over 50 years ago. And you know what I'd say about that man? He was great. He was great because he took of his time and came to where I was and stood and preached the precious Word of God out of the Word of God and preached Jesus and preached salvation to me. And I came and accepted Christ as my Savior. And I look back on that time and I say, man, that guy was great. He was great. Anytime you hand somebody a Bible tract, and if it blesses their heart, you know what? They'll go down the road saying, "That's great. That's great." It don't take a lot to be great in the eyes of the Lord. It takes a lot. I mean, we can't be great in our own eyes. I can't do enough to be great in my own way of thinking. But through the Lord, Psalmist said, "He makes me great. His gentleness makes me great." My buddy that I used to work with is a backslider. And I told him, "You're treading on the blood of Jesus." And I tell you, every time he seen me, just about, he mentioned that a lot of times after that. I've heard him in the pulpit preaching and he'd say something about that. You know what? I think he thought that was pretty great. I thought he'd get mad at me and never look at me again. But in his heart, that was great. Listen, the psalmist didn't say we make ourselves great. He didn't say anything we do is great. He said the Lord's gentleness makes us great.
Amen.
Oh, listen, I'm talking to you tonight. I'm preaching about who God is.
Amen.
I'm preaching about who is God. Who's the Lord tonight? The psalmist goes on. He said, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip." I was up in Pennsylvania on Interstate 80. They call that snowshoe, I think, over there, what they dubbed that. It snows up there when it don't snow anywhere else in the world, just about. And I went in a truck stop and I saw two tennis rackets hanging on the wall. But when I looked at them a little closer, they didn't have no handles on them. They had straps on them. Wasn't tennis rackets at all, they were snowshoes. And they put these things on their feet. And if you had a size 9 foot, by the time you got this thing on, you had about a size 24 or something. I mean, these things are huge. They go out in the snow walking on these things and their foot don't slip. See, the psalmist here, he said he's enlarged my steps. He's made me have bigger steps under me that my feet don't slip. Oh, I tell you, the older I get, I slip a lot. I go slip sliding away sometimes. I used to be like, you remember those commercial about the weebles? They wiggle and wobble, but they don't ever fall down. Well, that used to be me. But now I just fall down and I don't wiggle and wobble. You know, I just fall. But he said here, the psalmist said, he enlarged my steps under me that I don't slip. My feet did not slip.
Yes.
He'll keep you standing tonight. If you want to stand for Jesus, he'll let you stand. If you want to stay upright for God, he'll let you stay upright. Listen, he said he's enlarged my steps. The only way that I can live a Christian life tonight is by walking in the steps that he gives me.
Amen.
I'm telling you something tonight. The Bible said in John chapter number 14, like I mentioned, everybody believes in God. Everybody. Anybody you talk to believes in God, just about. You might find some fool somewhere that says they don't, but it would be very rare. But everybody believes in God, but that's not enough. Jesus said in John 14:1, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me."
Amen.
You see, the problem with the world today is they believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus. The Pharisees was a religious bunch of people and they believed in God. And when they had Jesus crucified, they thought they was doing God a favor. They didn't have a problem believing in God, but they never believed in the Son of God.
Amen.
Paul, or Saul as he was then, of Tarsus, he went around arresting anybody that he found worshiping Jesus, and he was doing that in the name of God. He believed in God, but he did not believe in Jesus. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you believe in God, that's good. Even the devil believes and fears and trembles, I believe the Bible said. And so believing in God's a good thing, but that's not enough. We've got to believe and accept and receive Jesus as our personal Savior.
Amen.
The only way you're ever going to make it to heaven is through Him.
Amen.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me.
Amen.
He told them He's the Son of God. And every time He told them that, they said, "Who are you really? I just told you." He asked the disciples, "Who do men say I am?" Well, they think you're John the Baptist or Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or one of them old prophets. And he said, "Well, who do you think I am?" Peter said, "I know you're the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Amen.
And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood didn't tell you that." Listen, we'll never make it to Calvary through flesh and blood.
Man.
This man I talked to yesterday just kept asking me, "How do you get to Jesus?" I said, "Through Calvary."
Amen.
It comes through faith, by faith. That's the only way. It's only and simply by faith and through grace that we're saved, and not of our works.
Yes.
Listen, we've got to believe in Jesus today. Just believing in God's not enough. Hell, the rich man probably, if Abraham said, "Do you believe in God?" He'd say, "I always did." Yeah, but that's not enough. You see, John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And I tell you, it just gripes me when people say His extraordinary Son or His unique Son, or I mean, there's 100 ways people say it. Why are they so afraid to say His only begotten? What is it about that people are so afraid of? They just won't come out and say His only begotten Son. They gotta change that word into something else. I don't know why they do it, but I'm going to tell you something. You'll never be saved until you understand and believe that God sent His only begotten Son into this world to save us. He is the Savior.
Yeah.
The Bible said in Ephesians 2:7 that in ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
What did Paul say? He said He showed kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He showed His grace to us. Exceeding riches of His grace, He called it. And in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Who's that? That's His only begotten Son. That's who it is. For by grace are you saved.
Yes.
Through faith. That not of yourselves. But it's the gift of God.
Amen.
The gift of God. Not a gift, the gift.
Right.
If I give you a gift, I can give everybody in here the same gift. I can give everybody in here a different gift. Don't make any difference. I can go around and give every one of you a different thing and I give everybody a gift. But if I give the gift, it's the same thing. When God gave Jesus to the world, He didn't give it to one and not give Him to somebody else. He gave Jesus to all the world. He is the gift of God. And I tell you, that's how we're saved. And then He finished that up by saying, not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't have anything to boast in today. The only thing I can boast in is I'm saved. I think Paul said the only thing he had to boast in was the cross. Paul was a great man. I mean, he was a great man of God. There's no doubt about that. But he said, the only thing I've got that I can really brag about is the cross.
Amen.
That's just it. I mean, hey, I can talk about the cross. I can talk about Jesus. I can talk about salvation, but I can't talk about Paul.
Right.
Same way with me. I can talk about a lot of things that has to do with Calvary, but I can't talk about myself because I don't have anything to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Who was God? Who is God? He is the absolute creator of the universe.
Amen.
He's also the one that's going to make heaven and earth pass
Amen.
Away one of these days.
Amen.
Jesus is the judge.
He is.
Jesus will be seated at the judgment seat of Christ and the white throne judgment. Judgment, all judgment's given to Christ by God. God is the husband of Israel. These people that think God has thrown Israel away, He hasn't done it. He hasn't done it. He'll never do it. Listen, the church is the bride of Christ. Israel is the bride of God. That's another one of those separating places, and yet they're all three one. But I just wanted to share with you tonight some things that the Lord has laid on my heart that to try to explain just a little bit. And I've only just scratched the surface. I couldn't possibly tell you everything about God. You know, in 1492 or thereabout, Columbus was sailing the seas, and men in that day, sailors were fearful because they was afraid if we go somewhere we've never been, we might just fall off the edge of the earth. That's just kind of a crazy way of thinking. I mean, looking back on it, I could maybe understand it if that's what you've been taught all your life. But if you just think about it, if the sea and everything just runs off the end of the world, why is it still full? I mean, you know, there has to be something more to this. But they wasn't thinking like that. But if they would have looked in the Bible talks about the circle of the earth. They said Columbus discovered that the earth was round. No, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible that the earth is round. This is my God. He made everything perfect for man. He knew. Listen, he laid everything out just exactly the way it needed to be. And a lot of times we don't know the answer to the question because we're not looking in the answer book.
Amen.
Go take a test. And you know what most people's first question is? Can I look in the book for the answer? That's where they want to look for all the answers. Sometimes they'll tell you it's an open book test. Take your book with you and just look up the answers. How can you fail a test like that? People fail at taking the test in this every day because they're not looking up the answers. The answers are in the book.
Amen.
Who is God? What is God? He's the greatest thing in the whole world. And He gave His Son to die on the cross to save a bunch of miserable people like us. I'll tell you, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God could have just took and just wiped them off the face of the earth right then.
Amen.
And just scrubbed them and said, that's it, I tried and they didn't work out, so we're done. We'll just keep all the animals and everything will be okay. He didn't do that because He's a merciful God.
Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. While they come tonight and get us a song, this is the message. Father, we thank You for giving us another privilege to come before You tonight. Thank You for the preached Word of God. Thank You for the strength to stand. Thank You for the Holy Spirit tonight. God, it's been so precious and so real. God, I ask You, Father, if there's one here tonight that didn't understand who God is, Lord, that You would just bless in this invitation. God, help us to realize when we leave here tonight who God is and what God is. Lord, help us to realize who and what Jesus is. God, help us to realize that we need a Savior if we're ever going to make it to heaven's bright shore. Go with us tonight. Father, I ask You to watch over us, lead, guide, and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
While we stand tonight and while we sing verse for song,